Today, I'm talking to the engineers and staff of Scott Engineering in Dover, Delaware. Scott Engineering specializes in structural engineering and also in civil engineering. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today concerning the products that are being sold and installed by DryZone. We do a lot of different things, but today I specifically want to talk to you concerning our SupportWorks products, designed especially for repair work of foundations and other types of support work. The first thing I'd like to discuss with you a little bit, and I'm sure you're well aware, being engineers of most of these things, but I want to make you aware that what we do with them. Push piers or resistance piers. They have advantages. They can be installed year-round. Piers reach greater depths than any other option. They have a long lifespan because they're galvanized steel and it's resistant to corrosion. Does not require the use of heavy equipment. It can lift your foundation back to its original level in some cases. It's a below-grade solution that won't be visible after installation. Warrants your foundation will not settle any further, and it restores property value. Now, there are a number of common causes for a settling foundation. Drying and shrinking of soil due to drought. Wetting of soil due to excess moisture, constructed on poorly compacted or filled soils. The components of a SupportWorks push pier are a heavy-duty foundation bracket, an external sleeve, which is a patented system that strengthens the pier system directly below the bracket, which is called the point of eccentricity, to prevent kinking, buckling, and rotating, commonly seen in other systems, and galvanized pier sections for long life. Installation of the push pier, we start by excavating the foundation to expose the footing. A bracket is installed under the footing. A sleeve is inserted in the bracket in preparation for installing the push piers. Now, the first push pier section advanced into the ground includes a large diameter friction-reducing collar, which is specifically common to the foundation support works products. And this is welded to the lead end. This collar, being larger in diameter than the pier tube, advanced through most clay soils. In soft clay or clean sand and gravel, an annular space may only temporarily be created. However, the larger diameter collar causes soil disturbance or remolding to occur, which also significantly reduces frictional resistance on the outside surface pier during driving. Now, the result is a driven pier that generates most of its capacity in end bearing. Over time, the soil surrounding the pier relax back into the annular space and against the pier shaft itself. This provides an additional friction component to the pier's capacity. Now, even though this frictional capacity may be significant, it is conservatively ignored in the determination of the pier's factor of safety against pier settlement. Push piers are installed directly adjacent to the existing structure, utilizing side load brackets. Now, this introduces eccentricity into the system. The model 288 push pier, which we're showing here, incorporates an external sleeve at the top of the pier to aid in resisting the bending forces generated by the loading condition. This helps preserve the axial compressive capacity of the pier shaft. The external sleeve extends through and below the foundation bracket to essentially create a bracket that is 48 inches tall. Now, the moment or bending force is localized when a relatively short distance below the bracket. Although the bending force is dissipated quickly by the pier bearing against the continuing soil, confining soil, it is significant and cannot be ignored. The depth or length of sleeve and the pier over which the bending force dissipates is a function of the soil stiffness near the surface. Now, the depth is greater in soft clay and loose sand, the less and less in stiff clay and dense sand. In soft or loose soils, a small portion of the bending force may be transferred to the pier below the sleeve, thereby reducing pier's allowable axial compressive capacity. A modified lower capacity system is also available with a shorter 30-inch long sleeve for low headroom applications. I'm leaving with you today a book which contains a lot of the specifications for all these products that I'll be talking about today, and it will give you system capacities as well as a lot of other information concerning them. Now, the installation is very simple, actually. The hydraulic unit is placed on the bracket. The pier section is placed in the hydraulic unit. The pier is pushed into the soil using the weight of the building for resistance. Push piers can also be used in basements. In this particular slide, you'll notice a 3-inch gap in the basement wall where the foundation has settled into the ground. After the installation of our push piers, the foundation has been raised back in place and the weight of the house has been transferred from the unstable soil to the push piers. Our FSI 288 push pier system has been designed and tested in general accordance with the criteria approved by the International Code Council, Evaluation Service, Inc. You all call it the ICCES. And they have been tested at an independent laboratory accredited by the International Accreditation Services, Inc., to complete product testing in accordance with the AC358. And the copies of these certifications are available to you and to any of your customers. Next, I would like to talk briefly about our helical pile system. Helical piles come in either round shaft or square shaft. A dry zone recommends round shaft helical piles for compression applications and square shaft or round shaft helical piles for tension applications. Foundation Support Works has developed a patented sleeve through which the round helical piles are driven to reinforce it at the point of eccentricity. There's a greater chance for a square shaft helical pile to buckle at the point of eccentricity. A true helix shape can be described as a three-dimensional curve that travels along and sweeps around an axis where any radical line remains perpendicular to that axis. Now, as engineers, I'm sure you all know what that means. So I'm not an engineer, so don't ask me to explain further, please. But that is a true helix plate, of which the helix plate on Foundation Support Works products are true helix plates. There are two different types of brackets that are used on the helical piles. We have a new construction bracket and we have a retrofit bracket. The retrofit bracket, of course, is made for buildings that are currently existing. And the new construction bracket is a special head that is actually cast into the grade beam. Foundation Support Works helix plates and helix piles meet or exceed the requirements of the ICCES. And again, this is all specified in the technical manual that I'm leaving for you. These helix plates are available in diameters of 6 to 14 inches, depending on individual job requirements, and they can be combined on a shaft. Now, once the helical pile has been screwed into the ground, we place the head underneath the footing, and there's a hydraulic jack installed on top of that, hooked up with hydraulic hoses to a central control unit, and then we start the lift. The lift is done very, very slowly. We cannot guarantee lift in all cases, but we can guarantee that the building will not settle any further. Another thing that you as engineers are probably running into here on the Delmarva Peninsula are chimneys that are rotating away from the house. Up until this point, probably a lot of people have just said, oh, tear the chimney down and put up a new one. Well, that's not necessary to do all the time because the chimney has been placed on a footing. And here again, the footing is like the house footing. It can fail and start pushing and settling into the ground. Actually, what we can do is to put two or more helical piles under the footing for the foundation of the chimney and actually raise it back up into position, placing it back against the house as it was originally. Helical piles can be used in commercial applications as well as residential applications also. Recently, we had a job which was a large warehouse, and it was made out of concrete blocks, and a portion of one wall had actually settled into the ground. Blocks had dropped to the point where you could take your hand and run between the blocks where the mortar joint was supposed to be. We went in with our helical pile system, basically transferring the weight of the building from the unstable soil to the helical piles. Now, the owner of this building had had a price from a mason also of tearing out this section of wall, pouring a new footing, and redoing the wall. And that price came in well above what we were able to quote him with our system. Now, the problem with replacing that wall was basically, the mason was going to be pouring a new footing on top of soil that had already failed. Whereas with our helical system, we're going to be putting these helicals into the ground down to the point where we reach stable soil, which will support the weight of the building. Now, in this slide, please notice the coupling on this helical. This is a round coupling. It's what we call an exterior coupling. It's welded to the outside of one shaft. It has holes drilled through it for bolts. So what this does, it allows the succeeding shaft to go into the coupling and have direct contact with the other shaft. The bolts all hold it in place, but we have direct contact shaft to shaft, as opposed to a square shaft helical where the coupling is basically pounded into one end of the shaft. The next end fits into it and there's a lot of play. It's not going to be a tight fit. So we recommend the round shaft helicals for compression purposes. However, the round shaft or the square shaft can be used for tension purposes. Once the lift was completed on this warehouse, the blocks had been brought back up into position, the ground was backfilled around it, and the guy had the wall was stabilized, and he did not have to tear the whole wall down to have it fixed. There are many uses for Foundation Support Works helical pile systems, including a special system for helical deck support. So when you're building a deck on the back of the house, you can use a helical system for support of your posts rather than having to dig holes and put footings in order to support the deck itself. I'd like to talk briefly about a product called a GeoLock wall anchor system. Now, there are a number of ways that a Boeing basement wall can be addressed. You can use a carbon fiber strap, which I really say is a band-aid fix. I-beams can be installed against the Boeing wall. However, the I-beams are attached at the bottom to the concrete floor and at the top to the floor joist. My problem with this situation is that should that wall continue to try and bow and put pressure against those I-beams, the top of the I-beam being supported by a floor joist is going to possibly cause structural damage to the floor joist. There's also a helical anchor that can be used to bring the to stabilize a Boeing basement wall. However, in order to put the helical anchor in, there has to be a 12 to 18 inch hole made in the block wall, and once this is done, it's awfully difficult to seal and waterproof a hole that large. We can also use an earth nail, but the product that we prefer is a product called a GeoLock system. Now, the GeoLock system can be installed year-round. It's quick installation. It has minimal disturbance to the home, the lawn, and landscaping. It gives us the best opportunity to straighten the walls, and it restores the property value. Now, there are a number of common causes for wall failures. Expansive clay soil, clay expands and contracts as the amount of moisture in the ground increases and decreases. Hydrostatic pressure, which is pressure exerted by a fluid due to the force of gravity, well, basically water. Frost. In cold weather climates, frost can put pressure on a wall and cause it to fail. Other common signs in the case of a block foundation where the wall is failing be horizontal cracking, can be stair step cracking at the corners, pushing in at the bottom of the wall, which we call horizontal shear, or sliding in at the top of the wall. The common signs in the case of a poured concrete wall is leaning in at the top of the wall. Now, because poured concrete foundations are more rigid than block, they're more likely to lean in at the top rather than bow near the middle. A poured concrete wall also will show diagonal cracking at the corners. Because the corners of the wall are supported by adjacent walls, you'll see the diagonal cracks extending from the bottom corners up toward the top center of the wall. Now, the GeoLock wall anchor system consists basically of three pieces: an interior wall plate, a threaded rod with large washers and nuts, and an earth anchor. Step one in installing the GeoLock wall anchor system is to determine the placement of the anchors on the basement wall. And we do this using a computer program that we have. On the outside, a section of sod is removed, and we like to go at least 12 feet away from the house or the building because this gets us away from any disturbed soil that was any soils that were disturbed during the digging of the basement hole. Okay, the sod's removed and the earth anchor hole is augered. We use a piece of equipment with a large auger on it in order to make this hole. Then on the inside, a hole of about 1.5 inches in size is made in the concrete block wall according to the locations that were determined by our computer program. And the rod is driven out through this small hole in the foundation. On the outside, an earth anchor is installed in the hole that we have drilled, and the rod is put through the center of this earth anchor and a large nut and washer put on to stabilize it. On the inside of the basement, a wall plate is attached and tightened, seating the earth anchor. The hole's backfilled and the sod's replaced, making the installation virtually impossible to see. Then back on the inside again, the anchors are tightened at intervals to improve the wall condition. We use a torque wrench in order to do this, and our first step is to stabilize that wall, and then we can return later and put additional torque on this to try and pull the wall back into place. Now, as I said, geolock wall anchors can be used on block walls or they can be used on poured concrete walls. This particular slide shows you a poured concrete wall that is leaning to the point where they have had to use braces to hold it up. The next slide shows, after the geolock wall anchors have been put in place, this poor concrete wall was able to be pulled back into a vertical position, saving the wall completely. If this had not been done, the only other option would have been to jack up the building, tear the wall out, and redo the whole thing, which would have been very, very costly to do. I want to talk a little bit now about slab piers. This might not be something you get into too often, but there are cases where the soil underneath a concrete slab floor has failed and has caused the floor to drop. What we do is to go in and we drill 8-inch holes in the concrete floor, and they're spaced according to a design requirement that is provided to us by our computer program. Of course, we use water to cool the drill, and a wet vac is used to remove the excess waters as the hole is being drilled. Now, once the hole has been drilled, there's what's called a slab bracket positioned underneath the concrete slab. Now, the slab bracket has sort of wings on it. In order to fit in the hole, they close up, and then once they're underneath the floor, they're opened up in order to support the floor. Now, through this slab bracket, we push steel tubes. Okay, they're like the push pier that we talked about earlier. The steel tubes are hydraulically driven through the bracket down to competent soils. And then again, once the weight of the concrete slab is transferred through the piers to competent load-bearing strata, the slab's lifted back to as level a position as possible by placing a hydraulic jack unit on top of the pier, hooked up to a central control unit to bring it back up into place. Now, once all of that is done, grout is pumped into the void space, if required, under the slab to fill the void that's been created by the soil settlement and the slab lifting process. And then the concrete hole is patched, and you don't even know that the slab piers have been put in place. We have another product called a smart jack. And I'm sure, as a structural person, you're going to get calls from people concerning the settlement of floors in their houses. The smart jack has been designed specifically for replacing the piers supporting the girders of a house in a crawl space. It's a proven engineered system to stabilize settling columns or sagging beams and floor joists. Now, we do not have to install a concrete footing install the smart jack. We dig a pit which is 24 inches square by approximately 30 inches deep, and it's filled with number 57 engineered gravel and compacted every 2 inches as we work our way to the surface. Once we get near the surface, an engineered precast concrete footing is set on the gravel and leveled, and this precast concrete unit is a pyramid in shape. Now, the columns for our smart jack come in long lengths. They are cut on the job site for each individual section that we're installing. Unlike the temporary lightweight support things that you buy in a big box store that are drilled and are adjustable for height, these have a solid shaft. And when I'm talking about the solid shaft, I want to emphasize that each one of these smart jacks has the capacity of supporting up to 60,000 pounds of vertical compression. The steel column and components for the column are assembled and connected to the beam. On the top of this shaft, there is an adjusting apparatus consisting of a very heavy-duty threaded rod, a nut, and a steel plate that goes underneath of the girder itself. And the smart jack system is tightened into place. It stabilizes the beams, potentially lifting the above floors and walls back to level. Smart jack system can also be installed in conjunction with our crawl space encapsulation system that we sell. Are there any questions on these products which we have briefly discussed? I want to make you aware that DryZone also has other products that we install. We do crawl space encapsulation, we do basement waterproofing, and we do basement finishing using products that are made out of inorganic materials that are totally resistant to water and will not support mold or mildew. I'm sure you're all aware that mildew is a big problem here on the Delmarva Peninsula. I'm sure you're aware that mold is a big problem here on the Delmarva Peninsula, and mold requires three things to grow. It requires a mold spore, which is in the air everywhere. It requires an organic surface to grow on, which is something that's once been alive, wood, paper, cardboard, leather, whatever. And it requires moisture. So by using our products that are made out of inorganic materials for a basement, mold will not grow on them because of the nature of the products. I'm available and our staff is available to assist you in any issues that you might have. We have a toll-free number that you may call to arrange for an inspection, and that toll-free number is 888-397-7579. I would like to thank you for the time today, and I look forward to working with you in the future on any of the issues that you might have.